The scripture reading this afternoon is Acts chapter 1, the verses 1 through 14. Acts chapter 1, the verses 1 through 14. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and the cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So far the reading of the Holy Word of God. In this service, congregation, we wish to meditate upon Lord's Day 18 of the Heidelberg Catechism, and especially the question and answers 46 and 47. Lord's Day 18, question and answer 46 and 47. How dost thou understand these words, He ascended into heaven, that Christ, in sight of his disciples, was taken up from earth into heaven, and that he continues there for our interest until he comes again to judge the quick and the dead? Is not Christ then with us even to the end of the world, as he hath promised? Christ is very man and very God. With respect to his human nature, he is no more on earth. But with respect to his Godhead, majesty, grace, and spirit, he is at no time absent from us. So far. Beloved congregation, what do you think of when you mention the ascension of Christ? It's something that we call a fact of salvation, like the birth of the Lord Jesus, like his suffering, his death, his resurrection, and also the ascension. We call this all facts of salvation, together with the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. Facts that needed to take place for our salvation. But when we think of Christmas, then we have a whole scala of thoughts. But when we think of the ascension, it's nearly forgotten. In the English-speaking world, they hardly even commemorate ascension. There are hardly any worship services even. We have 7 weeks in which we commemorate in the season of Lent the sufferings of the Lord Jesus, and that leads up then to Good Friday. A lot of emphasis is placed upon that, and that's fine, that's good, that's instructive. Every year again to consider the deep sufferings of the Lord Jesus. But the ascension, that's not just something minor. That's the coronation of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a cause of great joy. The disciples experienced that joy. They went back to Jerusalem in great joy. Isn't that amazing, boys and girls? They loved the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus was taken away from them. And then they returned to Jerusalem with great joy while he is gone. If your mom is gone, and you know she'll be back in a couple of weeks, or maybe a couple of years, you wouldn't be joyful at all. You would be sad. But the disciples were very joyful. How come? Because they knew the Lord Jesus is still with them, with his divine nature, his strength, his grace. But physically he's in heaven. He has ascended up on high. And from heaven he is in full control of all things. The disciples knew that. God's Spirit was already working in them powerfully. Although Pentecost still was going to take place 10 days after this. So ascension. Boys and girls, what do you think of? Well, you know what happened. The Lord Jesus led his disciples out of Jerusalem. Before that, they had been in Galilee. There the Lord Jesus had revealed himself to his disciples. And then they returned to Jerusalem. We do not know all the details. And he led them early one morning outside of the city, 40 days after his resurrection from the dead. They went to the Mount of Olives. And on the Mount of Olives, that's where he still instructed his disciples. And then the Lord Jesus blessed them, and then he was lifted up while he was blessing them. And the disciples saw him rising up into heaven. And they looked and looked and looked. And then a cloud came and he was gone. That's what happened. And then immediately there were two men standing with the disciples who had not stood there before. They were angels. And they asked these disciples, "You men of Galilee." That's already amazing, because those angels knew who they were. And so the disciples, hearing these two strangers asking them, "You men of Galilee," that means they know who we are. And they also realize these are not ordinary men, these are angels that the Lord Jesus already sent from heaven. The first sign of his nearness and his grace. And so these angels were sent to encourage and to instruct the disciples again. The Lord Jesus had told them he would ascend and that the Holy Spirit would come down and that He would never leave them nor forsake them. He would be with them all the days, and that he would return to judge the living and the dead. The Lord Jesus had told them this all. And yet these angels come, and they're going to repeat what the Lord Jesus had told them, to again pinpoint the disciples to this truth. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And we read in Luke 24, there you also read the account of the ascension of Christ, that they returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. So ascension means that the Lord Jesus ascended into heaven, and that his church saw him going up. The 11 disciples, and probably there were more, and saw the Lord Jesus ascending up. They were there. They were eye and ear witnesses. They saw what happened. It's a historical fact. It's not something that someone imagined. It's not something that someone wrote down in a book, and now we have to believe that. No, they were there. They saw it. It's a historical fact. And the place is mentioned where it happened, on the Mount of Olives. And the time also, when it happened, 40 days after the resurrection of Christ. And there's much instruction in the ascension of the Lord Jesus. And that's why the Catechism spends several questions focusing on this event. So now then, we consider, how dost thou understand these words, he ascended into heaven? And the answer is that Christ, in sight of his disciples, was taken up from earth into heaven, and that he continues there for our interest until he comes again to judge the quick, the living, and the dead. Well, the disciples have witnessed something they had never seen before. And then they left, went back into the upper room in Jerusalem, and they knew the Lord is still with us, although physically he's in heaven. But that's a reason for joy, because he is there also to prepare a place for them. He is going to gather them to be where he is. They knew that. To human understanding, this is something incredible. But the whole Bible is full of matters which are incredible to our human understanding, because we are very limited people. We have no understanding really about the functioning of a human brain or the functioning of one human cell. We have no real understanding about life, how life starts and originates, how life is planted forth. But in Scripture itself, we have so little understanding of our own depravity and the injustice we have done towards God. And that God responds not in anger, but by sending his Son. And that his Son came, the long-promised Messiah, to Israel. And Israel said, away with him. The one they had waited for 2,000 years. The one that the whole of humanity had waited for since Adam and Eve. And mankind said, away with him. And then yet, God doesn't make an end to this world. It's a miracle. And the miracle of the birth of the Lord Jesus. And the miracle of his resurrection. And of his ascension. It's God intervening in our world, in our existence, in our lives, that a person who is unwilling, insensitive, harsh, unkind, that he becomes completely changed. He becomes very sensitive, very loving, very kind, very caring. That a person is born again and that a new life rises in that person's life. You can't explain that. It's not to be explained by psychology or by anything of us. It's God's intervention in lives of people. And so the ascension is something, yes, that defies the laws of gravity. Okay. But the Lord God himself made these laws. He who scaled the waters of Galilee, he who changed one boy's lunch into supper for 5,000 men. You see, it's all his power. The Word of God tells us that this happened. And that's why we bow for it. Because what the Lord Jesus promised, that also happened. Those frail disciples who a few weeks before had locked themselves inside an upper room. They were so afraid. And now they will be filled with God's Spirit and they will come out in the open. And at risk of their own life, they will proclaim salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they went out to north and south and east and west. And everywhere people were led to repentance. Hardened sinners were converted because the Lord wrought along. The Lord Jesus wrought along. And the early church saw that the Lord Jesus reigns. They could see how the emperors who persecuted them all met a violent death. They saw it all happening. And they saw that the Lord Jesus was in control, that the church did grow. It could not be stopped. In God's Word, it's all about salvation, which will lead to the honor of God. And because of salvation, Jesus had to come into this world, had to die, rise again. But also because of salvation, the Lord Jesus had to ascend into heaven. Because from there he would control his church. He would be in full control. And that's it. That shows that ascension is a great privilege for his church. If you have an army and the control center is safe and the control center has every power, can utilize all forces, although there's a battle raging with sections of the army, they know it'll still work out well because the control center is in full control. Well, the Lord Jesus is in the control center. And he does everything that he desires to happen. Nothing happens by chance. And that's all a fruit of the ascension of the Lord Jesus. But if we look at how the Catechism explains it, if we focus on those words, we see here that Christ was taken up from earth to heaven. He was taken up. Who took him up? He was taken up. It's the passive tense. He was taken up. Who took him up? God the Father did that. And that's the evidence, the proof that the work of the Lord Jesus is fully done, is completed. God the Father first raised him up from the dead. And now God the Father is taking him up into heaven and placing him at the right-hand side of his throne in heaven. And now the Lord Jesus is in full control. And so we see Jesus crowned with honor and glory. He may now receive the glory that he had before he left heaven. But there's a difference. Is it the same glory that he had in heaven before he came or before the foundation of the earth? No, there's a difference. Because now the Lord Jesus in this glory has received the authority to lead sinners to God the Father, to bring sinners into communion with God. Therefore, the Lord Jesus had to die and to suffer and to pay the price. And that's what he did. And that's why his glory is now, if we understand it correctly, is greater. You see, God is full glorious. Nothing can affect his glory. Whatever happens, he is in full, ultimate, sovereign control of all things. He dwells in an inaccessible light. We cannot add anything to his glory. Even the redeemed church in heaven and all the angels cannot add anything to his intrinsic, to his own pure, everlasting glory. And that's why his glory cannot be increased. And yet there is a difference. Because now the Lord Jesus can be the intercessor in heaven, pointing to his finished work. And now sinners can be reconciled to God. And that's why the curtain hanging in front of the Holy of Holies was torn apart. Now there is an access to God through Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus can redeem sinners according to divine justice, because he paid the ransom price and he is in heaven showing his finished work. And that's the difference. And that's why it's a beautiful reality that he may now be in heaven at the right hand of God. He earned now the authority to save sinners. He is now the triumphant ruler over every power. Ephesians 4 verse 8, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He led captivity captive. Think of a Roman general entering through the triumphant arches into the city of Rome, and he would have at his chariot chained the kings that he subdued. They are now chained to his throne, and so he in honor enters the city of Rome. Well, the Lord Jesus has entered heaven, and death and devil are chained to his chariot, and sin is chained to his chariot, and corruption. He led captivity captive. And at the same time, he gave gifts to men. Gifts. What are those gifts? Well, the Holy Spirit, salvation, peace with God, grace for grace, from his inexhaustible fullness. He gives justification, redemption, sanctification, glorification. He gave gifts. He gives them also here in our midst. Christ ascended into heaven. We read Acts chapter 1. 14 verses that displays the ascension. In Luke 24, you can also read about the ascension, how the disciples were there, but you read it also in the Old Testament, in Psalm 24 and Psalm 47. Those are psalms referring to the Lord entering in into glory. There the Holy Spirit led the psalmist to describe the glorious entrance of Christ into heaven. And also in the ark was carried up into Jerusalem. That is also seen as a pre-understanding, prefigured the ascension of Christ into glory. David had great joy. He danced for joy when the ark was brought up into Jerusalem. And so his disciples, the Lord of the Lord Jesus, had joy when he ascended into glory. David was a prophet, and David witnessed through the Holy Spirit of the ascension of Christ. Men like Enoch and Elijah, who were taken up to be with the Lord in heaven, they also prefigured the ascension of Christ. And the fact that he ascended, the Lord Jesus, that shows that he first had to conquer every enemy. He that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Ephesians 4, 9 and 10. The Lord Jesus may now be in glory in heaven. And that is the greatest joy. Heaven, congregation, is something so glorious, so beautiful, that we cannot understand that. In heaven, it's not about you or me. It's not about our joy, but it's about God. Everyone there is focused upon the Lord. The Lord in heaven. He receives all glory. He is adored and loved, and that without any sin. There his people shall rejoice in the glory of the triune God. And then his people shall see God and be changed and renewed exactly in the image and the likeness of Christ Jesus. Heaven. Heaven is a wonderful place. And in order to be there, you need now to learn to love him above all. You must now learn to adore him. You must need him to have full authority of your life, and that everything in your life will be submitted to him. That's what happens in heaven. Everything is focused upon the Lord. And so everything in our lives now already, we must learn to focus them upon God. That's what heaven is all about. And that makes it so beautiful, because God is the fullness, the absolute fullness of all that is good and blessed and glorious and joyful and light. And that's why being in his presence, having communion with this God, is blessed already here on earth. Some people have a foretaste of heaven. Christ is the true high priest. He entered the heavenly sanctuary, and there he prays and intercedes for his people. The high priest here on earth would go into the temple once every year and would there sacrifice for the people and sprinkle blood and pray for the people. And now the Lord Jesus is now in heaven, and he is now praying for his people, interceding for them. But then we say, yeah, but we can't see that. No, you don't see that. We can't see the Lord Jesus in heaven going in before God and pray that. We don't see that. But the Jews in Israel could never see the high priest praying for them, because the high priest was behind the big thick veil covering the Holy of Holies. They could hear him at work, They could hear him praying, but they could not see him praying. And we can also hear the Lord Jesus praying, because his prayers are petitioned, are recorded in Scripture. In John 17, we hear the Lord Jesus praying to his Father, but we cannot see him. But you don't have to see him praying. We have to believe that he is there, and we have to flee to him because we need him as our intercessor. We need him to pray for us. The Lord Jesus has now the right to enter that heavenly sanctuary and there to pray for his people. He can do that on the basis of his sacrifice brought on Calvary. And that sacrifice, you know, is once and for all. It never has to be repeated. The high priests in Jerusalem had to repeat the sacrifices every year again. Actually, every day sacrifices had to be brought. It was never enough. Again and again, repeatedly, daily, several times daily, blood had to flow of an animal. But the Lord Jesus shed his blood once for all. For all times. Enough for all people. It never has to be repeated. His sacrifice is perfect. And on the basis of that sacrifice, he now lives in heaven to pray for all those who come unto God through him. And when you flee to God, pleading upon the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, he will pray for you. And your prayer will be accepted, because of his intercession. That's how practical it is. That's how you may picture it for yourself. And from heaven, the Lord Jesus gives his life-giving Spirit to his church. And when the Spirit of God is poured out upon his church, that is to quicken his church, to make the church alive, to change people's lives, to make them more focused upon the Lord Jesus in their lives, to wean them off from this world and to make them new people, different people, people dedicated to his service. And at the same time, this life-giving Spirit is also the first payment, the down payment, that the rest will follow. What is the rest? That's heavenly glory that is certainly going to come. When you know the Lord Jesus and his Spirit works and lives by grace in your heart, that's only the first beginning. The rest is still to come. Unspeakable blessing and glory. Shall we remember that? Shall we plead for that? When you wonder, would that also be valid for me? This high priest in heaven invites you. He is always ready. He never sleeps, he never slumbers. He's inviting you, calling you right now to come to him with your messed up life, with the things you cannot control. He's calling you because his blood is sufficient for your sins, and his prayers are efficient also for you. And he gives his Spirit as the first fruit, and the rest will follow. It's a guarantee. Like you buy something and you put down a down payment, the rest is going to come because you really want that house or whatever it is you want to buy. Well, likewise, the Lord Jesus gives a down payment so that we would know he will take me up to be where he is. He earned everlasting rest for his people. We think of the people of Israel going through the wilderness and coming into the promised land, and having conquered the land, they all received a portion there. And they all could sit beneath their fig tree and underneath their vine as a sign of rest. And that's all a depiction of heavenly Canaan, where his people will enter the rest that remains for the people of God. That's what the Lord Jesus is preparing by his ascension. And how can sinners enter heaven? How can you, a defiled sinner, how can you enter heaven? Because you say you may know grace and you may know the dealings of the Lord with you, but at the same time, you're still a sinner. And at times that can grip a person, also a child of God. Can I yet enter heaven? Because there's so much that stands in between the Lord and my soul. I wish it was not so. I wish I was perfect. But I'm not. How can you enter heaven? You can enter heaven through Christ. Through the ascended Christ. Think of the people of Israel when they were just at the borders of the promised land and had to enter the land. And how could they do that? They had to cross the River Jordan. And they happened to be there that time of the year when the River Jordan overflowed its banks and when there was a strong current. And how could they ever cross and wade through that deep water? Well, then the priests had to go up front. And as soon as they put their feet into that quick flowing water, the water stopped. And the priest walked on. And they stood on dry land in the midst of the Jordan River bedding. And then the people of Israel could pass in front of the ark into the promised land. And that's again a beautiful illustration, with the most comforting meaning, that you, in spite of your unworthiness, you who hope upon the Lord Jesus alone, you may enter heaven through Christ, because he's standing there, ready to receive you. He opens a land of rest. He is the door. He is the way. He is the life. And he opened the land of rest for weary pilgrims. And so there's so much in the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Catechism says that he continues there now for our interest. The Lord Jesus is not there to have his own rest. He is there for our interest. It's for your well-being. That's why the Lord Jesus said, it is better for you if I depart than I can send my spirit, and I will prepare a place for you, a home in the house of my Father. And I will come again and I will take you to be where I am. That's what the Lord Jesus was going to do. And as a sign of that, what was the last thing, boys and girls, the Lord Jesus did before he went up to heaven? What was the very last thing? It was he raised his hands above the disciples and he blessed them. And as he blessed them, he was taken up. And the last thing the church saw of the Lord Jesus were his blessing hands. And that's a sign that his blessing continues on. He blesses from heaven. He blesses his children personally in life. He protects them. He hears their prayers. They do not call upon him in vain. He leads them. He watches over them. They are precious in His sight. He's blessing them. And that started very soon with the mighty outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. They were to be baptized with His Spirit. And that blessing started immediately after His ascension, when they were filled with such joy. And so they went back to Jerusalem with such joy. That's already the first blessing. And many blessings would come. And so the Lord Jesus is the source of your personal strength and grace and blessing that you've received. There can be times in spiritual life that you may feel as if you are separated from Him. But He never separates Himself from you. He always holds on to His people. When the disciples in the ship thought that they were going to drown and the ship was going to capsize, while the Lord Jesus was with them, but He was sleeping, ye little faith. Do you really think that you would capsize? I am with you. And so the Lord said to His people, I am with you all the days. Even if they would lay down their life as a martyr, which happened to many of them, the Lord would still be with them to lead them through, to give them strength to do that, and would still be watching over them. He would continually be with them. For He is in heaven for our interest. What a blessed feast is the feast of ascension. It's a good thing that we have a service, at least one service on Ascension Day in the evening. It's an important Christian feast. Full of comfort, full of blessing. But the Catechism also asks another question. Now, we will not spend that much time on this question. The first one was very important. The second one also, but is not as extensive. The second question was, is not Christ then even with us, even to the end of the world, as He has promised? So the question deals with the issue, how is it possible that the Lord Jesus can be in heaven and at the same time here on earth? Because the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 28, Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Well, how is that possible? He's not here anymore, He's in heaven. Well, you know, children understand this question. You could even give the answer in your own words. You could say, yes, but the Lord Jesus is in heaven. But He is still with us. That's right. He is still with us. Because with His human nature, He is in heaven, no more on earth. But with His Godhead, majesty, grace, and His Holy Spirit, He is at no time absent from us. He is always with us. It's such a rich comfort that the human nature is in heaven. Because that means all His people with their human nature will also one day be there with Him. He is again the down payment, the guarantee that all His people will there be with Him in glory. That's why it's a joyful feast, ascension. According to His human nature, He is no longer on earth, but in heaven. Glory be to God. But with His majesty, with His divine strength and power, with His grace, He is always with His church. So it can seem that you think the Lord has forgotten you, and you can feel yourself so insignificant, so helpless, so worthless, you're cast down, you're thrust down, you think you've let the Lord down again, you have fallen into sin again, and you feel as if you're all alone in your affliction, in your tribulation, in your sickness maybe, or in your grief. You can be in spiritual darkness. The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Isn't that how it goes in life? Bitterness. But yet, I am with you all the days. And where you do not see Him, He sees you. He is more faithful than you can imagine. It's His Spirit awakening you, leading you still to cry out to the living God. And then there can be times when that distance between the Lord and you can be so very small that the Lord is so close to you. When you're going in for surgery and you sense His nearness, or it can be during prayer when you receive opening in your prayer. That's not always the case, that a child of God receives opening in his prayers, but it can be that he senses such opening, such nearness of the Lord, that you say, it is good for me to be here, or under the proclamation of his word, or while you're reading scripture, that a text jumps out at you, and it's an answer to you in your situation. And then you sense something of His loving kindness. Therefore, in all our situations, let us learn to look to Him in heaven. The Lord Jesus has received the right to be there in glory. And He will take His people along to be there with Him. It's only temporary that He's gone. It's only temporary. And it's not 2,000 years. It's only 60 or 70 years. Or maybe 30. Or maybe 80. How long you live, a child of God, as you live. That's how short the separation is. Maybe you are over the half of your life. We don't know that. But that's how short the separation actually is. And then the Lord will lead all those who have loved Him to be there with Him. A human being cannot just enter heaven. He needs to have someone to lead him into heaven. That's the Lord Jesus. He has the authority. Just like the owner of a factory can take someone along and show him around. Normally that person has no business there. He can't just go in and look at all the proceedings there. No, he needs to have someone to take him along. Or if you work for an airline, and then if you work for an airline, apparently you can get reduced airfare for yourself and for your family because you have someone working there. That's why you can get a cheap rate and then you go on a trip. It's not as expensive. And you know, the Lord Jesus, He is in heaven and He is going to take all His people along and show them around, and He will introduce them to God the Father in glory. And there, you who learn to love Him will cast yourself down at His feet. And there, you will forever be with Him at the right hand. The Lord Jesus at the right hand and you before the throne. Amen. Ever blessed Lord, who art ascended into glory, we thank Thee, Lord. What an assurance. The head, the King, is in heaven, and He is endowed with all power. And that's the guarantee that His church shall be one day with Him forever and ever in glory. That's the perspective. That's the sure hope. And that's why the ascension is a glorious feast. full of comfort, full of admonition also for us, that we would focus upon Thee, Lord Jesus, as Thou hast earned the right to enter heaven, not only for Thyself, but for all Thy people, and that Thy people may now have an intercessor in heaven, and that from heaven Thou art ruling for our interest. Oh, that we would take heed of these words, that we would realize that these are not words of a man, but of God Himself. We pray Thee, Lord, lift up our hearts, that we would not live for this world, but that we would live for Thee, the living God. O Lord, convert us, if we are still outside of Thy grace, and are still living for this world. Will Thou snap all those chains of delusion that the world puts upon us, and give, Lord, that our hearts may be attuned to follow Thee all the days of our life. We thank Thee for what Thou hast given. Go with us also now this day further. Wilt Thou bless also the gathering of the young adults after church, and also when maybe other activities will take place. We pray Thee for young people societies whenever they meet throughout the week, or whenever they have their meetings. Wilt Thou give Thy grace and blessing also to the leaders of the various young people's gatherings. And wilt Thou watch over the whole congregation. Yes, keep us, Lord, from an unprepared death. And we thank Thee for what Thou hast given us in this service. Go with us, for Jesus' sake. Amen.